black people, colors only. I got a question. So you ever standing in public, right? You stand in public and you see white people. Do you ever get the urge to just, you know, you know, like you're minding your business, or they're kind of minding their business, and you just to scare them a little, just to scare them a little bit, just to give them the feeling like today's the day that black people start retaliating, just to give them a little bit of the burning feeling inside. No, just me.
Oh, I know those moments when you just want to harass people based off their skin color. Those are the good old days when we could walk around and harass people out of the pure motive of just being racist. But you can't be racist if you're black, because this is your month. Happy Black History Month to everyone, and especially to two of my favorite people who are back in town today. Adam Krigler, happy Black History Month, and much COC in your face, confetti of color, 8K graphics. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
Thank you for having me back. It's good to be back.
Do you like it? Do you love the color? Do you love the diversity in the air?
Can I get some more confetti?
Can we blast it?
I need
blast it up.
Yeah. Oh, right. Feels good.
The moan is what makes it. Also in the studio today is the black person expert that we've been consulting. High price, worth it every time. John Doyle from Heck Off Commie. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive.
And it's so true. Thank you for having me for yet another installment of Black History Month, and we're excited.
We are so excited. My name is Elijah Schaefer. Welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we all get confetti of color. I am joined by the lovely co-host slash producer slash resident journalist, everything else, but also the beautiful, the lovely Savannah Hernandez, who's here from the Rapid Fire Podcast. How are you feeling today, Savannah?
Doing great. Very excited for the show. You know, always love it when we have Adam Krigler on and our black person expert, John Doyle. So it should be great.
It is true. Let's just talk about that video for a second. We have a lot to cover today, including the fact that apparently it is now racist to not like big butts, which is now a new thing. They want to control your sexuality. But I mean, I thought we've moved past this, Adam. I thought we've gotten to a point in our lives where you see this kind of video going up there, and I just would like to do this thing that people get annoyed by, but switching the races. Imagine if I made a video about how if you just see a black person, you just want to intimidate them and cause them harm. I feel like that wouldn't be so well received.
I agree. I think you'd probably get punched often if you did that. And I'm surprised. Well, she also has the woman card as well. So she's got multiple things going. You know, what are you going to do if she comes up to you and
does punch
that
bitch.
You would.
No, I'm just kidding.
I don't. Are you?
Now, if you punch black person, then it creates this like mob mentality.
Like, whoa,
and then
racist.
Everyone, like, you never get to, you can never just fight one black person. It always turns into like
literally,
a group
fight. It's like if you,
I know, I grew
if
up
you,
in,
if you
in,
like,
in that area.
If you kill one bee and then the hive attacks you, it's like attack one, attack all mentality. Dude,
true.
I that is like my least favorite part of black culture in terms of like what's affected me directly. They never want to just fight one on one. Like every time I've ever been in a fight with a black guy, it's him and all of his friends, and they like mob you. It's not fair.
No, it is not fair.
Talk about justice. Talk about equity.
Talk
and
about
equality.
Equity. Before we even jump into the story, obviously we've talked a lot about this. We have the Diversity Coalition. If you don't remember, just a little update, guys. We have Madison, the black disabled original Robinette, our non-binary, named after good old Joe Budden. We have Camel Joe, named after our vice president, Peggy the peg-legged, and John Hacker, the burned face Antifa doxer, as well as our resident clown pill, as always. We do have the newest member that came in for Black History Month. Adam's going to be modeling
Shall
this
I?
For us. He is a model. Check it out, guys. It came in, our Asian model, which, by the way, we bought one with joints that move because, as you know, no one is experiences the wrath of Black history more than Asians
Shall
during
I?
The last couple of years. Yeah, go ahead and open it up. You guys voted on this, so it's able to fight off attackers in the subway, which I want to remind you that this is not actually a joke, but this is a genuinely a real issue going on in our country. In remembrance of all of the Asians who have really faced the five-knuckled fury of black history and excellence. I want to remind you that Andy Ngo says this is still alive today. A black male suspect has been arrested over the brutal stabbing murder of an Asian-American woman in New York City, Asamad Nash, very Western name, a career criminal who was released from jail for another assault case, allegedly stalked Christina Lee into her apartment and murdered her. And so on that note, happy Black History Month, everybody.
What?
Okay, I was just going to say. But you guys voted on the name, and we're going to give you the name of the new member of the Diversity Coalition. But first, a huge shout out to our sponsor for today, Northwest Retention. Now, guys, you know the Second Amendment is important. You got to have a gun. You got to own that firearm. But you got to have a way to carry it. And John knows, most importantly, you have lots of firearms, and you know that Northwest is genuinely a high-quality holster because you've actually worn mine before.
I don't own any firearms, actually, but I do know that about the product. I stand by it wholeheartedly. So,
yeah. So, guys, if you're looking for the ultimate custom carrying for your sidearm, even a sling for your rifle, or if you're just looking for a chest, a holster, which essentially is a way to buckle on your firearm to your chest when you're running, you're hiking, you're doing yard work, whatever it is, you don't know when people are going to snap back or crack at you. As we've seen, people are getting murdered. They're getting attacked. You got to have a way to conceal it. I use their concealable holster, which I love, and I've actually come in handy a few times, as some people have been very creepy the last few months and have come around my life, and it's been very odd. But I trust Northwest Retention with my life. Not only are they custom, are they American made, and it's a company that respects you and your values, but they are custom to hundreds of different types of firearms, and the designs are basically limitless and endless. I have this version of the Gadsden flag, which is so cool, on my side holster. And of course, if you look at Savannah's modeled these many, many, many times before. And I always tell you this, your gun will be just as secure as her, but you might not look as good as she does modeling it off. But go to NW Retention right now. That's nwretention.com. Use promo code offensive for 10% off. That's nwretention.com. Promo code offensive for 10% off. Get the best holsters that we trust here today. So obviously we want to jump into the most important things of the day. Do you have a vision of that? Look at that. Look at the joint bending. You guys voted, and the name,
there she is.
The name of this Asian comes from a famous movie, and you guys voted on Fook Me. So that is Fook Me, and that is,
oh,
that is, I don't know where Ling Ling or her sister Fook You is, but that is Fook Me. And
so here's Fook Me, proud to present.
Fook Me is now part of this.
There we are.
Okay, let's talk about this. Let's jump into some of this stuff. So obviously we had this racist stuff. We've seen this white erasure, which I think is this new thing in Black History Month, where, I don't know if you guys watched the Super Bowl, but they literally needed to have a halftime show to remind the public that Black people exist. And you gave me a call on Sunday and told me you just found out about this too. Like, they needed to do that because you never knew.
No, I had absolutely no idea. I mean, I think Dr. Dre had even mentioned before the performance that he wanted that to be the opportunity for the music industry and for the culture, broadly speaking, to not be able to ignore Black people anymore. And I had never heard of this. I think it's called rap music. I had never heard about this before.
What is that?
It's a new word to me.
Until
Dr.
Dre.
Christmas
Dre
gift and, or something?
No, not like WRAP, like okay. RAP. I think it stands for like rhythm and poetry or something like that. Hmm. Apparently this has been going on since like the late 1970s in like, you know, Brooklyn area. I think it started, but everyone's just been
rap
ignoring
music.
It.
Because, I'll write that down.
As you know very well by looking at the top 40, white people still predominantly control the music industry, and we have probably forever, which is why, you know, the top genres are things like country and classical and rock. And not obscure things like, you know, Latin or rap or anything like that. So, yeah, I was really, I thought the performance was pretty hip. It was pretty cool. And, yeah, I'm all for this this rap stuff.
Isn't there something that's similar to something like hip and or hop or something like that?
You know,
is it an
now?
And or is it an is it or? Or is it and or?
I'm not sure. I know it. It's vaguely familiar.
Well, I was just really surprised. I was like, I always wondered what all those tanned people were doing walking around. Turns out there's a name for them. They're called African Americans.
Oh.
And the Super Bowl let us know they exist. Mm. The crime statistics clearly never alerted us to that. I will say, though, after the Super Bowl, if we can play the footage, I did predict on my last show that there was going to be rioting at the end of the Super Bowl if the Rams won, because nothing says civility like mobbing. And they did loot, and there was actual rioting. I don't know about you, but I feel like this is very counterproductive to celebrate your city's excellence in some form of an ability to win and to prove yourself to the world. I don't know what it does by going out, destroying cars, destroying police cars, looting shops, mostly minority owned. And this is just the kind of behavior that we come to know and love and respect from respecters of rap music and, of course, sports.
Yeah. And it's funny because back when they were burning down every major city in the country 2 summers ago, the rebuttal to the contesting of that was always, white people will riot if y'all lose a sporting game. And it's like, okay, it kind of calls back to this like vague idea of maybe an experience you had in college where like some white frat guys like lit a couch on fire or something. But it's like, no, even when there are riots going on or, you know, these mass destructive demonstrations after a sporting event, like predominantly speaking, the demographics are still basically like the same. So I think we have a pretty good understanding of like what types of people are more compelled to that type of behavior.
It's Black History Month. We're making the history. What would a month about history be unless we're making it in the moment? Writing Black history as we speak.
True. I have a friend of mine who lives in Hollywood, and he said, I am boarding down the hatches. I have gotten some food. I'm staying in. I'm not going out this whole weekend. Well, this past weekend during the Super Bowl, because that was when they won. Imagine if they lost.
Oh, yeah, that's actually true. Mm. But I do say, dude, like looting a Boost Mobile store is a really good way to celebrate the month. I do want to remind you, too, with this Black erasure, we're not the only country that is, the white erasure, I should say, where there's this need for pushing, let's say, a little bit of diversity, which is to make sense for, especially with like, you know, universal or global brands, right? You might want a little bit of representation. If you're trying to sell a product overseas, you might want people to identify with some of the actors, et cetera. In the United States, though, we've totally thrown away equal representation in favor of overrepresentation, specifically with gay people and with Black people, where there are actually quotas inside some of these agencies and these unions that you cannot even qualify for awards like the Academy Award unless you have a certain level of diversity. And countries like Wales, did you know Wales was a mostly Black country?
No, I didn't.
Did you know?
No.
Well, apparently, according to their anti-COVID policies, their mandates, a commercial came out from Wales that was trying to warn us to take the strategy of health and safety into our own hand. But they represented that the Wales population was pretty much all Black, which is crazy.
Yeah, I mean, you see this in all advertising. I've been playing a game with myself for the last 3 years where I try to find a single white guy in any advertisement who doesn't look like he's gay. And I haven't won yet. You literally cannot find it because, as you said, it's all about the overrepresentation. And for all intents and purposes, this country and the West, broadly speaking, are Black ethno states. I mean, you know, they always talk about, oh, white people are white supremacists. And, you know, they want a white ethno state. It's what defines an ethno state? You know, it's this population and all of the decisions pertaining to that population are decided based on what would benefit that ethnicity, right? And it's this is America. We are a Black ethno state. There is literally no decision that is made, whether it's within advertising, any other form of media, law enforcement, without thinking, well, what are Black people going to think about this? And, you know, of course, a country should consider what its population is going to, whether that's out of a moral obligation or a financial obligation if it's with a business. But it's we're talking about 14% of the population here, right? And it's they are everywhere. And I gotta say, I don't know how many credit applications they're filing at my bank. And still, on the homepage of the bank, that's all we see. Any advertisement is all we see. And it's not representative. And
I've never even seen a Black person in my neighborhood except on advertisements. And yeah. I don't mean that in a rude way. I just mean it's almost every billboard and advertisement is a interracial, usually interracial couple,
yeah,
or some sort of person of color. But I've literally never seen a Black person in my neighborhood. And that's not, I didn't move there for that reason. I just moved to a safe neighborhood and that just happens to be the correlation. But we do actually have a lot of Indians in the neighborhood. So that's actually true. And there's bomb curry.
Dots or feathers?
Dots. Oh. Did you just make me say that?
Yeah.
Too late.
You know what I'm talking about?
I'm sorry. I was I just answered it. You know, John says stuff, so you answer him just a normal person. You realize, shit. No, but I was going to say, it is true, though, with this representation that, we're not looking to equity. We're not looking to build relationships. We're not looking to bring inclusion, diversity. This is about over-representation, about controlling and domineering. And I believe it's about diminishing the influence, the culture, the understanding of the past for some dystopian, you know, reflection or image that we see on screens that truly does not reflect the entirety of our culture. It does not reflect the reality, and it's done to pander.
Yeah. Can you imagine being a diversity hire? You know, being Sav finding sweet. Out, hey, Sav, how does it feel? You know, hey, by the way, we're not choosing you based on your merits or how good you are at anything. We're just choosing you because you have a certain shade of skin. And that's it. We just need to make the office look a little more diverse. So here's your paycheck.
Yeah, good look job. At this. Check this out. We have this ad from Wales. It's a full ad. I don't know if we can play it. I don't know if there's even any sound. Let's go ahead and let's listen to this high budget commercial from Wales. Oh, yeah. You could be breathing COVID-19 on your friends, which is racist that the Black guy is the one squirting out all the Black dust. I feel like this is satanic. And then the Black guy's gone. Black people apparently aren't following the rules. Stop COVID-19 hanging around. I don't know if this is they have an albino and a couple Black people and a lesbian up there. And then you have like some feminist, and why did they choose an albino, first of all, for the white person? It's so bizarre.
I don't get what's going on here.
I don't know. This was just an ad in Wales.
What is happening? This is a real ad.
Yes. The black people need to like get their shit together because they're spreading black soot onto people.
Well, that's kind of racist. That's kind of the way China was handling the black population in China when it first started coming around.
It makes me sad. I don't know, John, what do you think about this? I mean, we can move on. I just thought this was kind of a weird, like if you're going to advertise in Wales, it was just a weird representation that Wales is a bunch of albino and black people and lesbians.
Yeah. I mean, we were kind of talking about this before we started recording, how everything that we're told in Black History Month is all about like black history being this sort of element of oppression and slavery, all used to paint a picture of America as like an evil place. And so as you continue to see more black voices elevated, more things like that, that all goes just to serve that narrative, which is meant to usurp and uproot like the traditional American society. Because if you subscribe to the myth of American history, that is basically like, you know, this oppressive country and Martin Luther King, and he was just a brave guy speaking truth to power, and he liberated black people, and now we're getting so close to achieving equality and equity and all those things, that basically concedes the point that America was founded upon white supremacy and racism and all these evil things, which would then justify all of the actions that they've been taking for the last 70 years. And so, no, I'm not willing to do that. I'm not willing to actually concede that any white person has ever done anything particularly wrong as it pertains to race relations. I mean, anything that white people have done wrong, other races have done too. And we've actually done it less proportionately than they have, which is why I absolutely hate hearing conservatives talk about affirmative action's bad because the poor Asians, they just can't get into Harvard as easily. And it's like, neither can white people. Oh, this violence is bad. These poor Asians are getting beat up by black people. And the media doesn't want to talk about that. Bro, you don't want to talk about the fact that white people are getting beat up even more, actually. So, yeah.
No, it is true. You have an exact point. And I think, Sav, it is interesting because like it actually affects everybody, this whole intersectionality. Because like I was walking with Joe at the mall, and he was like, watch, we're going to walk by Victoria's Secret. And you used to like see a model or something, and it's probably gonna be a fat black chick, bald black chick. And it was literally the model on the front. And
I'm glad I got out of that industry.
She was actually a fat Asian chick. I just walked by Victoria's Secret the other day, and that's who they're using as models now, which makes me feel so represented as an Asian person and as a fat person.
There's
so,
not that many fat Asian chicks, I feel like.
They literally found the one fat Asian and were like, model for us.
Yeah, but I'm saying, like, don't you? I feel like it's weird too because the representation goes beyond just like, that's what I'm saying, this black ideology. Like, they don't just find some hot black chick and are like, hey, we need to have a black chick. They find like some ugly, bald, non-binary, fat Asian black blend that looks like somebody put too many ingredients into the soup and didn't think about how it would taste. And they put that at the front. I'm just saying. And it's like, it really ends up representing nobody. Yeah. Because who's, like you said, who's the fat Asian chick?
There's literally no fat Asians. They found the one fat Asian and they had her model. It's just,
Asians are afraid of obese. Isn't it? You're not that Asian, but like when I've been an Asian, they hate obese people.
I am that Asian because ever since I was like 12 years old, my mom was like, oh, you weigh 120 pounds. I weighed that when I was pregnant with you. And I was like, hey mom, you're 4'11". Thanks. So I am that Asian, and Asian parents are very much like that. Like if you're fat, they will tell you. If you're too skinny, they'll also tell you. So they're very much about, you know, making sure that you're a healthy weight.
Being healthy? Whoa.
I know. Unheard of, truly.
No, we need to talk about this. So speaking of that, the representation is, it's not just in skin color, but this idea that has been popularized by a young man in the room about this over-sexualization in Western culture, moving from the tits to the ass, right? So there's been this adjustment.
This is my moment.
So let's talk about this. Let's talk. I'm gonna get your take first. Okay. You can have your moment later.
Yeah.
But let's go to my screen. So the New York Post has discussed an issue here that we've begun to invent issues. And guys, if you're listening to this, if you're watching this, don't forget this is an audio-only podcast. Don't forget to download it. But also remember that if you listen, you not only don't get to see some amazing things, but you get the blessing of not having to see what we're about to witness. God. So we've begun to invent problems, right? We complain about things. There are real issues. We have supply chain issues. We have inflation. We have a president who's not in office. I don't know where he is. He's somewhere in his own world.
People in Western culture think they have problems.
Correct. We have a gay man named Peepee Butt that takes paternity leave and takes shirtless pictures. Very strange people. Very bizarre time. It's very odd. Well, now, as we've moved to this culture of learning to represent women and accept obesity as beauty, which it will never be. Obesity will never be attractive unless you have a fetish for BBW, which is possible.
Okay.
There is a model with a super-sized booty. That's a nice way of saying obesity.
Yeah.
That can't find love, not because she's a raging bitch that looks like her face was filled up with helium in like a balloon and the fact that she's disgusting, but it's simply because the men in her life are afraid of her butt. And I swear this is not photoshopped. Damn. Wow. That is like, it looks like a potato. I want to peel that and chop it up and turn it into some fries. I swear that looks like an actual potato.
Someone photoshopped Brian Stelter's face onto that.
Yeah. Savannah.
Just bam.
Spitting image.
Okay. But I want to read this. This is really crazy. The beauteous booty is budding in the way of romance. I got to give a shout out to the New York Post for always having the best writers.
But at the same time, New York Post, come on. This is news?
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. They always have the best writers. They just say stuff like
news,
this.
This is news, Adam. Please understand. This is news in the modern day. In a country where we don't have real problems, this is news, actually.
Yeah. The Serbian
we
Swedish
have problems.
Woman, the Serbian Swedish woman with a supersized booty. And I got to remind you, that is not supersized. That is literally like...
That's like decades of filler gone wrong.
I think there's something wrong here. Anyway, Natasha Crown, 27, has undergone 5 Brazilian butt lifts. See, I knew it. In a bid to have the biggest bum in the world, but the operations haven't helped her entice a long-term lover. My last relationship was 7 years ago, Crown candidly confessed in a recent Truly interview. I'm pretty extreme, so I think people are afraid of me. And so we've gotten to a point where, that was her originally. She was like, she looks like she's a pill girl. You know, the kind of girls that just like take pills casually. And they wonder why they have like problems, but it's like because you're literally on pills.
And then she stabs you when you're sleeping.
Oh my, whoa.
That's the same person?
Yeah.
I think she injected the same things in her lips as her ass.
Whoa.
There's
so,
a lot going on here.
Can we get in this deeper?
Let's not. Okay.
So, John, I'm going to keep this on the screen here for a second. And this is an interesting thing where this representation, right? They're saying we need to accept these types of people. But what we're finding out is diversity doesn't work out in real life. We're supposed to accept, you know, this as beauty. It's supposed to be considered attractive where doctors allow this to happen. But in the real world, men don't want this. This is being rejected. And this is being pushed upon us that this is the world we want. I feel like this is a white woman trying to look like a different race.
It's just humiliation. I mean, everything that has been done in the popular culture in the last several decades has been to humiliate men in particular. And it's like, you go by Victoria's Secret even, and you see like that fat model, and you're supposed to like look at that and be like, this is what beauty is. I mean, and that's what this is. It's like spiritually leftist. It's a rejection of beauty because beauty is inherently right wing. Because beauty is an acknowledgement of objectivity. It's an acknowledgement of hierarchy, both things that are the quintessential tenets of like right-wing philosophy, both of which the left rejects because they reject hierarchy in favor of equality, things like that. And so, yeah, but in terms of the race thing, it's like, I don't know. I got in some trouble for saying this. I think that the whole like POG thing, the whole like, you know, squatting thing, it's all just like a psyop in my opinion, because if you look at like, you know, the traditional, actually, I think the best way to think of it would be to look at any form of media from the 20th century. And you look at the way that the young men were interacting. It was always like, bro, just someday I want to see a girl's boobs, man. And just like they had like a crumpled Polaroid photo of like one boob and like they're all looking at it like under a rock or something like hiding from. And that was like the thing, but no one talks about it anymore. Now it's like, oh, bro, this chick has a nice ass. She has a nice ass or whatever. And you look at like the standard of beauty in this country is now like this Kardashian-esque manufactured hourglass figure. And in my opinion, that's just kind of like a primitive taste because it's like, you know, you look at white women, traditionally, they're like a more slim frame. And this is why, you know, what do they call it? Like a bubble butt, right? Like white girls will be skinny, but they still have like a nice butt. And it's like, I'm not saying that that's not like attractive, but it's like, you look at these girls now and they're trying to achieve that hourglass figure. So they're getting like butt lifts.
It's unnatural.
They're spending all this time at the gym squatting. And it's like, you know, the virtue of having a nice butt is like being endowed by your mother, right? Like having a good, you know, fat distribution, not like, oh, I squatted at the gym and now like I'm stronger than you, but it like looks this way in leggings. And so I think that it's trying to reorient the sexual interests of white men in particular towards women who are not of their own race. And white women aren't doing themselves any favors either because they're, you know, doing their whole thing right now. But now, like, guys are looking at, like, Hispanic girls. They're looking at, like, black girls. And now you've got girls like this. And so I just think it's...
It's unnatural. Well, that's the point. It's like, this is not her natural butt, right?
Yeah.
So it's this like push of like, it is because as they go, like these are the features that are more predominant. You even have this issue with like, even with people trying to look darker, et cetera, try to be hood. You see a lot of white girls like that try to act like they're all tough and hard in the media. And like they act in a way that just doesn't, it's unbecoming. It's not even natural. They force this look. And that's what I'm saying. It's these forced beauty standards that I feel like is very unhealthy where women specifically are felt like they need this giant butt, these perfect breasts and all this stuff when it's like really some cultures, some people are just small. Some Asians are really, really petite. Some white ethnicities and different cultures. They're just smaller, but our culture is like glorified. It's like rap, wop, wet ass, big ass, titties flinging around type of look. And these girls like this are saying, well, I'm going to emulate that. And in reality, I don't know.
You know what this is? This is a lack of confidence, and confidence is attractive. Like you were saying, you had that post earlier. We were talking about having thin skin versus having thick skin. Like if you don't care what other people think and you're confident, people, that in itself is attractive. That is not authentic. That is basically screaming to the world, I'm not confident with who I am. I'm going to change who I am to try to emulate what I'm told is what is in right now. What is the attractive bar is having weird balloon lips and a potato butt.
She's a potato. Well, she also, like, I think her and I
that have looks
the
like
same
a man.
Eyebrow person.
She looks like a man tried to be a woman.
It looks like a transgender.
It does.
I'm halfway there, so we're on a good rope.
Well, you got the eyebrows.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I'm halfway there, but I'm already trying to emulate black culture. Look, call me brother.
One more
brother
thing
Eli.
I will say on that, actually, that I think is really important to note, is it's like, I remember I would be in high school, and guys would be talking about, you know, locker room talk, and they would be talking about, like, anal sex. And they'd be like, what? You don't think that's like hot, bro? And it's like, no, why the like, what are you talking about? And then when I was doing my research for the anti-pornography dissertation, I find research that shows that like, I think it's a super majority of men who express interest in that because it was shown to them in pornography. Not that they sought it out. This looks interesting. That it was shown to them. Mm. And then they're like, oh, I guess I'm into this now. And it's like, I find something very spiritually disturbing about all of a sudden a generation of young men being like psychologically manipulated through technology into wanting to like put their dicks into girls' butts. Like that's sodomy. That is satanic. That is a perversion. That is taking the act that is, you know, a man putting himself into a woman. That's a self-lubricating organ to create life. And then you have now a man doing that with like the part of the body that like expels waste. That's disgusting. And this is like what we're normalized now. It's like, no, bro, that's like hot, bro. You're the weird one. It's like, no, you should be shot. You should be shut down. You should be shut down on social media for
shut
that.
Down. Repeat. Shut down.
You should be
That's
shut down.
That's what he
down.
Said. Shut down. I don't like how you pointed at me when you did.
Yeah. No, not you.
Hey,
not
and
you.
People, and people like, when people are into anal sex.
Stop pointing at me. I don't like this.
When people are like that.
Pointing at you guys now. No, you.
Hey,
it's
you. Every single time I come on this
when
show.
People, when people are into anal sex, I'm not saying who. She took herself off
what
the
What is
screen.
This?
Adam, this happens to me at least once per show where Elijah will like be talking about sucking dick and then pitch to me and I'm like, no.
Whoa.
Like, stop.
Like, Samantha, you understand. And she'll be like,
you suck dick, so I mean.
I'm like, bitch, what? Anyway.
No, but if you're saying but this is the change in the culture, right? The rapid degradation of erasing history and then being able to replace it with whatever they want in the present. Like this is the important part is when you remove the sustainability of like what a natural sexual desire is, what a normal sexuality is. Even the phrase normal today is considered offensive because there's no normal. The only normal we hear about today is the new normal, which is whatever the hell people invent that are in power today on anything from gender to sexuality to climate change to COVID mandates or whatever, the normal is new every single day, except for the fact that we're not in control of it. And sadly enough, like you mentioned, like whether or not people disagree with your take on anal sex or whatever, it doesn't really matter. There's a truth to this that no one can disagree with, which would be the fact that this is probably a new or an emerging fetish or interest or something. And it probably and most likely is related to pornography, meaning it's not just like people are creating things and we can opt out. It is genuinely affecting our world. And one of those things, like you said, with a lack of confidence is grown adults who can't even figure out who they are.
Right.
And they've distracted and disillusioned people to not even be able to think about the changing of the world, how rapidly things are degrading, because people can't even get control of their own minds. And this is video 6. There's this grown adult woman who has a meltdown over being misgendered. And this is a grown woman. Let's go and let's watch this.
I have this one coworker who simply refuses to use the correct pronouns for me. I've called her out every time she misgenders me, and she just is resigned to not change. And today just broke something in me. I just snapped. I ended up yelling at her after the third time she misgendered me and within like 30 minutes. Like, they, I use they, them pronouns. And she got so defensive. And I just started explaining to her, like, I'm sick and tired of this shit. Like, you need to at least make an attempt. And she popped off, got upset, got defensive. What are you going to do about it? And I just said, I'm going to be really hurt and sad. Like, that's all I can do about it. And the worst part is that at that point, my boss, who claims to be so woke and, like, happy and joyous and making a safe, positive environment for everybody, gangs up on me with her and says, like, this is, Carson, like, shut up. This is not the time for a political statement. And I was upset, rightfully so, but was trying to take such a level-headed approach to it of, like, this is not a political statement. My identity is not a political statement. It's just my identity. All I'm asking you to do is respect that.
Okay, we can just cut this off for a second. Obviously, things like that make me feel like I need a drink, which is why I got to talk to you about First Leaf. Obviously, every time you drink, do it responsibly. And sometimes you might have your special first occasions, right? A nice date. Maybe you just had Valentine's Day. And you know, wine can be romantic. Sometimes it can even be great when you're using it in communion. Or for perhaps you don't like to drink, but guests do come over and you want something available for them and you don't know how to pick it out. Well, First Leaf is the package service that essentially allows you to meet with experts who send you a variety of wines that help you develop and curate your taste. But also, over time, as you pick which wines you do or don't like, they actually begin to curate boxes that better fit your desires. So this is really cool. I know a lot of people who drink and don't drink who are able to use a service because the chances of us knowing somebody who does is probably pretty high, or having dinner parties or whatever it is. And so whether you love wine or you know someone else who does, celebrate these moments that count with First Leaf, the wine club designed to help you discover new wines that you'll love, personalized to your taste and delivered to your door. Join today and you get 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 with free shipping. If you go to tryfirstleaf.com, that's tryfirstleaf.com/offensive, go to tryfirstleaf.com/offensive for 6 bottles of wine for $29.95 with free shipping. So here's a toast to the first and to finding the wines that you love. If you feel like wine is confusing, you don't know where to start, or you just want to switch things up, I hope you enjoy them with the people that you love from the first sip to the last. Tryfirstleaf.com/offensive. That's tryfirstleaf.com/offensive. That's tryfirstleaf.com/offensive for 6 bottles for $29.95 plus free shipping. I hope you enjoy your time. Please drink responsibly and always in moderation. So with that being said, I don't have a drink here, so we're going to have to overanalyze this autistically in a way of talking about this. If only there was an autistic person in the room. I would say that the ultimate thing is that this is what someone cares about, right? I mean, there's the satanic-y part of the multi-layered gender of the they, them pronouns, mm-hmm. that this boss could, like, bitch, just work. Like, I just want you to work. Mm-hmm. Just, can we not? Can we not talk about pronouns? Can you just make the latte for the customer?
Yeah, I mean, those kind of people, they need to feel special. They need others to validate them because they have no idea how to do it themselves. They're not confident. And it's very obvious that that's what they need to do. Well, it's also having power over other people. Like, oh, no, you need to, they, them. Like, well, first off, that makes no sense grammatically. That is incorrect. You're either a male or a female, and I don't care if people get pissed. They will. That was clearly a woman who wants to feel special and wants to fall into a group that they've. I mean, the internet really has allowed these people to, like, group up together and become strong in their ways of being. I don't know.
Mentally ill in the public.
Yeah. Okay. Sure.
Yeah.
And have it be okay.
Well, she went to TikTok.
But be special.
She went to TikTok because she knows that's the only place people would care about what she has to say. Like, in the real world, that's my point. Mm-hmm. All this diversity stuff only works on the internet and in these social media apps. In the real world, your boss is like, dude, I don't care about your mental illness. Just please do your damn job.
Exactly.
Her whole thing, too, my identity shouldn't be a political statement. Like, that's a nice bumper sticker. But if your identity is not true or it's deviant from the reality that we can all observe and know, it is, by definition, a political statement because you're making a declaration on how things ought to be, which is the essence of politics.
That's a good
point. If you're just out here saying, like, I'm they, them, it's like, no, you're a she, and you owe me one latte because I already paid you, and you're, like, having this fit. It's like, you should probably stop doing that. And it really is kind of sad how our society, and in particular technology, has incentivized this sort of behavior. I mean, that's, like, how you gain status, you know? You victimize yourself because, of course, the left is all about the abdication of personal responsibility. But it's also very important for these people to do that because that's how you feed this sort of victimization economy, so to speak, because you are such a victim and everything is so bad for you. And resultantly, you now have a debt to the next time you see somebody who else is a victim for whatever reason. Like, they will never, ever say to somebody, you should not be upset about that, whether it's because they were misgendered or their uncle used their dead name or something at Thanksgiving. There's never a situation where a left-wing person will tell another left-wing person, hey, you know, you should probably calm down. It's not that big of a deal. Because they have to always churn this economy out of just everything is the worst, everything is a victim, because that's how they can sympathize with that. So they give sympathy and they get sympathy, and it's all very disingenuous, but that's what's necessary for them to maintain this status of victim as like this completely ascendant good that is to be aspired to.
They also create an enemy for them. Like, oh, by the way, all of that is true, and it's that person's fault.
Yeah.
Over there, that guy, let me point at you, actually. It's my time.
Hey, it's the anal sex guy.
It's that
over
there. It's that white guy. It's that white guy standing right there. It's his fault. Let's all rally together and bring the white guy down.
Yeah. Get whitey.
Mm-hmm.
I'm actually a little pink, a little like I'm closer to like a crustacean. So I like it's a little bit closer.
Sure.
No, but it also this is also the victim mentality that we see that constantly portrayed. And this is why I want to develop the conversation even further and say it's not just the erasure of white people, it's the erasure of straightness too. So it's these any type of monolith or type of structure that can bring stability in a society they want to get rid of, right? So if you have a straight white Christian society, how do we dismantle the stability and not only get people to go to hell, which is the spiritual element, so that they feel lost and never find God, but also on top of that, so we create chaos and disorder and that we deconstruct the power so that we can take it over and replace it with the degeneracy and confusion so that they become a power factory of economics so that we can rape them, you know, their benevolence, and we can take control of their banks, etc., and just use them to push our one world government. Well, that's what they've done. That's where we're here. And it's interesting, though, you see the disconnect from the older generation, best by this image of this trans woman that posted, my dad will enter hospice tomorrow. I'm glad I was able to come out to him last year. And we have this beautiful transgender person. Oh, they always look so good and so much like the gender they're trying to look like. Am I right, guys? Just always so accurate. There's never any hints that that's not a woman.
No, and it looks like a demon decorating their environment to make it more comfortable for them.
I feel so bad for that dad.
Did you see his face?
He wants to die.
I know. I'm like, I've never seen an old man want hospice. Like, he's like, sir, you still have 2 months to live. He's like, just put the morphine.
You know what's crazy,
just
too?
Just do it.
The guy's like 46.
It's Brian
46-year-old man.
Oh, shit. Oh, my God. I know, but like, I know I have to laugh. Dude, remember, John, before you get too dark, I'm going to throw you one. Can we get this full screen here? Savannah, I got to take out a clown pill. John needs a clown pill today.
Wait.
Oh,
I'm gonna need another clown pill. I don't think we have
I don't know. I don't want to throw this guy.
I need the full dosage.
All right, I'm gonna.
What are those clown pills? Do I want to know?
Yeah, no clown. So clown pills. He needs a clown pill. He's dark in his head.
So angry. All that. It's my white male rage.
Yeah, you need a clown pill.
These are clown pills that
give you a little dose of laughter in the midst of the darkness.
To Elijah's point,
you're not supposed to eat these.
Such
right?
a great and
you
important
probably,
point.
You could probably get poisoned.
There's all this head scratching on the right, like perpetually of like, well, why are they always just going after and picking on straight white men? And why are they mad at white people? And why are they mad at men? And why are they mad at straightness? And then you don't kind of square that with what you also know to be true, which is that they fundamentally want to like uproot this country. And so you just have to ask yourself, could America have existed without straight white men? I don't know. I'm just a guy asking questions. But if it weren't for straight white men, could America exist? And will it continue to exist? I don't know.
Something we're doing too good of a job. It is so interesting that as we've progressed, I've always found this to be a weird paradox. So we've dismantled whiteness, the patriarchy, colonization, and whatever bullshit they invent while they're high. I don't know. And we've done all this, right? And now we're in this progressive melting pot of a world.
Which, no, it's the matriarchy now.
Yeah.
It's swung to the other side.
But America is apparently still got this deep-rooted problem with misogyny and racism. And no matter how much they try, it never goes away, which is interesting that as they've progressed, in fact, we've become more racist and we've created Donald Trump and his minions, right? We've created the alt-right pipeline on YouTube, right? Which I don't know where I'm at in that gateway. I'm probably – where do you – I don't think – I think Ben Shapiro debate videos are probably at they're the open portal before you create a shrine to Hitler. I think that's what it said.
My dad was visiting this week, and before he came, I made sure to take all my Ben Shapiro books off my bookshelf because I didn't want him to be alarmed by the material that I was reading in. But Adam,
please
actually,
don't bring up that name around here. Ben Shapiro, it's seriously, he's got the most extreme content.
You made a really good point about the matriarchy just now, and no one really thinks about like how that is really the reality of where we're living, because it's like, if you think about what a patriarchy would be like, you know, the sort of tyrannical father, and you would see explicit displays of force. That's how the tyranny would exist. You know, door-to-door confiscations of firearms, you know, people just being executed. And it's like, I would almost in a way prefer that, because it's just like,
okay,
as opposed to what we have now, which is the matriarchy, which is all like right. The tyrannical mother. Think of the ways that women wield power. They can't do it explicitly with force. So what do? They have to manipulate narratives. They have to subvert. They have to keep you dependent on them. Think about the overbearing mother. What is it? Munchausen syndrome, like by proxy or something, where they like, I think it's like 95% of cases of that are like the mother convincing the child that they're sick or something. So they have to like take care of them forever. Mm-hmm. This is like things that mothers do, keep you dependent and convince you that, oh, well, you're not grateful for everything I've done for you and you need to appreciate me as the state. Like that's what we're living in now, because who controls our state are feminine people or women.
Yep.
It is very a passive-aggressive world that we're living in today.
Exactly. And it's like, I almost would prefer like this whole like our values and who we are. Like, just shoot me, honest. Like, literally just shoot me. I would prefer to go out T-posing in front of like an Antifa Black Lives Matter firing squad than I would just like be lied to every day and have like gay, fat Asian women in Victoria's Secret like as I walk by trying to get like an Orange Julius or something. Like,
why are you walking by? Why, this is your third time walking by Victoria's Secret. Why?
Well, I'm hoping that maybe they'll switch it out, you know.
Maybe the screen will switch and you'll see somebody who's like halfway pleasant on the eyes. That's also weird too.
It's gonna be him.
Yeah, he sees himself in the reflection. He's like, who's that on there? It's like, that's your reflection. No, but I will say it is interesting with all of this being said and done that part of this is being done because, like I said, we've gotten to a point to where they don't know what to do. They're so lost. They're so confused. That's what I'm saying. They dismantled everything, and the world's still racist. It's still evil. Maybe the problem is not what you think it is. Maybe you're just a tool in a pawn in the world of this stuff. There's an alarming video that came out from North. I'm going to say this right, Savannah. North Allegheny? Allegheny?
Sure. Out of Pennsylvania.
A-L-L-E-G-H-E-N-Y.
Out of a Pennsylvanian high school.
Yeah.
Allegheny?
Allegheny in Wexford, Pennsylvania. These high schoolers, which I will remind you, apparently they're minors, so I am, high schoolers do dumb things, but the dumb things that high schoolers did when I was younger was like slap girls' butts or like throw wet toilet paper wads over into the stall. It wasn't really planned out. Most of the time it was just us acting retarded. Nothing's really changed. We just have money now and we're retarded, which is totally makes it more fun. Mm-hmm. But then they have the police and, you know, real litigations and stuff. So that sucks. Can't go around slapping ass anymore. But I will say this is now what kids are up to in terms of pranking. These are high school students, and it's the video they uploaded to TikTok, which currently only has 169 likes, and the school hasn't taken any action on it, so we'd like to bring it to the public's eyes. Let's watch this. So they're taking the school's curriculum into their own hands. Just remind you, we want to turn that down because of copyright. Keep it low. So they're taking basically any books that were written about capitalism, colonization,
written by white
and
men.
That were written by white men, and religious books, specifically Christianity. They didn't seem to take anything from Islam or anything like that, and they threw all the books away. They cleared out their school library and tossed all of the books in the trash. I hope someone screenshot these faces and turn these into the school. Hopefully we can get these videos sent into their school. Again, remember that these are minors, so please do not harass, dox, or do anything besides perhaps just emailing the school and sending images of these kids to the school itself. That's probably the furthest action you should take with minors. So hopefully their parents find out about this.
You mean the Lord's work?
Yeah, I just want to say, but I'm saying like that is not the pranks that we did when we were younger. We did not take colonization books and throw them away. Like, that's very ideological.
That's not really a prank.
A prank has to be like edgy. Like by definition, it has to be like challenging something. Like whether, you know, it's a whoopee cushion, like you didn't want to fart, but now people think you farted. It's like what you're doing is like so gay. Like no one would have, if you would have just protested your school board, they would have done that for you. But you're like, no, true. I'm like fighting the system, man.
Look how
I'm
cool like, I am. These
books. No, and what they replace them with, books that you could find in airport bookstores and Barnes & Noble. And it's like, this is going to really just challenge the establishment. Like, no book that you can purchase at a Barnes & Noble is a threat to the establishment. They stopped printing those books because they made it, like, effectively illegal. And it's like, you have to go to old bookstores, vintage bookstores. You have to go online to people who have, like, gotten the PDF files and they reprint them now independently. And it's like, nothing annoys me more than people who think they're, like, speaking truth to power and, like, fighting them, pushing the system.
Well,
and it's like
every 100 years or so, we need to just burn all the books so that we don't learn from history, right? Isn't that how it goes?
Incinerate them?
Yeah, just get rid of all books. because, you know, we don't want to learn from our past. We got to keep it fresh and learn.
Just like everything. A restart.
Yeah, restart.
Just like the pyramids. Who cares how the pyramids were built?
Yeah, yeah. Who knows?
I don't care. Just right. they're there. They're still there.
Somehow.
That would be cool if we knew. But
aliens?
Yeah, I don't know. I think maybe the Jews built them. I don't know.
Is that true?
I think the Hebrews built. I think they were part of the slave labor. I think there was a lot of slave labor.
I think that's like canon, isn't it?
Yeah, I believe that the Hebrews.
I don't think it was slaves. I think the people who built it were like honored.
But cutting the stones and also like doing some of the labor of like some of the pushing and pulling. Okay. I'm sure it's like revered engineers who literally designed
it
them
and where they told, got and pointed.
See, but I don't think it was aliens. I think humans were a lot smarter. I think through the mixing of the different races and through the, I think there's a reason why we've gotten dumber, because during the Tower of Babel, when God mixed everyone up, we were never supposed to get back together and combine our intelligences. And I think it was going to work against us. And so people, even in Genesis, like when they would go out and they would build cities, like very quickly they learned about music and rhythm and understanding and wind instruments. They built great cities. And that's part of the problem with humanity. They would get too egotistical and prideful. They're actually very smart, and I think that Egyptians were hyper intelligent. I mean, with the electricity that they had, batteries in Peru, locomotives, etc., in South America, even in the last like 1,000 years or so. I mean, people were hyper intelligent, and that's what we're taught to think. Everyone was like savages because they want us to believe we all came from like chimpanzees and like Neanderthals, and everyone was like,
and also that we're all, and then we all got smart. Progress.
That's what I'm saying. Like, we're all smarter today. Like, we know, and everyone else was like closer to like some sort of a chimpanzee, and now we're ahead, and that's what we know about gender. Rather than the fact that we're losing IQ points and that we're losing these abilities. In fact, at some point in history, recently in the last couple thousand years, people used to live to like 120 on average, and now we live to like 79. So, I mean, we haven't really advanced in the ways that we think, and it's a very egotistical, prideful issue with humanity. And it often happens more and more the more we mix and we try to become a one world government, which God has been trying to prevent for a long time. Because when we create a one world economy and one world government, then the Antichrist is going to sit on the throne room of God after they rebuild the temple, declare himself God, and people are going to abandon him. And then anyone who does not give themselves to the world system will be beheaded.
I'm so excited.
Deep breath.
Okay. I just wanted to get that out
being
there.
Being a martyr would be so, I'm almost jealous in a way of like the Christians in the Middle East who like get their heads chopped off by like Muslims and stuff. It's like,
you have a weird brain.
What is going on?
He's like,
right,
you know
now?
What? I just want to be shot by Antifa, and just I identify with people that are beheaded.
I don't identify with them. I'm
he's
almost
jealous of them. He said.
I think that's a much
almost.
That's a much
me,
more
almost jealous. Like,
one more TikTok, and you will be too.
It's a much more pious and respectable form of Christianity. I mean, you go to church now, even like, you know, some of the church denominations who are supposed to be like more, I want to say based, but just more authentic, I should say. Even their homilies are based on like tolerance and love and acceptance, and it's just like so gay. Like, I miss mass. I mean, I never really had it, and I don't think anyone has in this country unless you're going to, like, TLM or maybe East Orthodox masses, but it's like, there's no, like, authentic, like, Matt Walsh had a really good opening chapter in a book, Church of Cowards, talking about, like, if, you know, the Muslims did invade and George Bush was right, and they'd be looking for Christians to martyr, and they couldn't find any because you've got, like, lesbian pastors, you've got them saying that, like, oh, yeah, Jesus did say, I guess, that you're not supposed to sleep with men, but he also said you have to be tolerant, so I guess it's okay, and stuff like that. It's just like, I just wish that there were more Christians in this country who were worthy of being martyred, if that makes sense. Like, they were actually practicing their faith to such a degree that, like, they would want to be, Muslims would want to be, like, killing them and chopping their heads off.
But no one has the backbone for that.
Yeah.
You know what? Bryson Gray.
Bryson Gray. I love Bryson Gray. He would. Yeah.
Bryson Gray will stand firm on his.
He wouldn't flinch.
He wouldn't. No. Shout out to Bryson.
No.
Zuby.
I've never met, but I mean, I take your word for it.
I don't think he talks much about his faith. Or at least I haven't seen it. But Bryson obviously is very outspoken.
I have. I know Zuby pretty well. I like him a lot. He's pretty outspoken.
Zuby's great.
And like also sometimes too by his example, like the way that he lives, he really is like has a really strong moral character.
True.
So like, and he's like really, really like holds himself to a high standard.
But I feel like he targets that side of the human mind. Instead of like the religious side.
Yeah, where Bryson's just like, I love Bryson. One time I ran into him on a bridge in Tampa.
We're gonna do a song together, me and Bryson.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
Nice. Bryson,
really
we should do a song
together.
You're
gonna rap in a song?
Yeah, bro, I'm a rapper.
No,
wait,
I
wait.
Know.
So you do know rap? Ha ha!
You learned about it
okay.
before.
The I was truth doing a bit. Out. I was doing a bit.
Mm-hmm. Did you see this? I found this picture of Eminem from the Super Bowl. I forgot to bring this up.
I didn't watch the Super Bowl, but my goodness, I'm hearing all the shit about it.
This is Eminem from the Super Bowl right here. And I wrote that I am, I said that I am. That it was him kneeling down, right? Really fighting the system.
Did he really?
Yeah, he kneeled down on it, but I made sure I put, I'm proudly part of the corporate sponsored resistance. Are you? Because that's really what this is all about, is like, I feel like people are being given a fake religion of humanism, and it's erasing the Western society we built, not only on logic and understanding, but also specifically on the value and the merit of morality. And we're sure. replacing it with this sort of like corporatism that has no respect for anything besides profits. And what brings profits now apparently is being as woke as possible. There's being as open to whatever you possibly can. And I love how like Eminem kneeling at the Super Bowl, is it considered like rebellion, like supporting the Black Lives Matter movement, while like Trudeau in Canada is literally saying like, yeah, I marched with BLM, but I don't support the trucker convoy because I don't support people who fight for freedom. Getting the Emergency Act put in place, essentially enacting martial law, right. and becoming a dictator, a tyrant, etc. That's BLM. And then Eminem's like on stage like, yeah, I'm rebelling. And I'm standing with BLM, even though I'm told I'm not to. And it's like, that's your example of what a rebel is. The guy who told you that you don't deserve to live if you don't get vaccinated. Like, what a poo.
I think that he does that because he feels guilty. And like Why? His whole, I think he feels guilty because, not guilty, but I think he wants to just keep, you know, tensions low because he is, I think, if I'm correct, the best-selling rap artist in history. And he's like a white guy. And so
he also made a lot of songs about hating gay people and killing them and stuff too,
and which is, killing his ex-wife.
That's true.
Which is why you can't really hate on Eminem. I mean, this is the guy who normalized white rage in the early 2000s. So he might be cringe now, but like this guy, he walked so we could run. You know, he dug the riverbeds for us to be threats to democracy now. So I can't throw him under the bus for that. But I mean, I think that's what it's always been. I mean, his whole thing, whether you know, you see an 8 Mile, which is inspired by kind of his upbringing, or even you know, in his lyrics, he'll always talk about how. You know, he knows that there's tension because he's a white rapper and he's doing it better than everybody else. And they think that, you know, he's kind of like co-opting their culture. But I'm actually surprised with how much respect other artists like extend to him. And that does kind of make me happy because he really is a talented rapper. Not recently so much. His last good album, in my opinion, was MMLP2 out there, big Eminem phase from Detroit. You know, white kid. You have to go through a rap phase when you're a white kid. But yeah.
You don't even have the hat on today.
I know. I forgot to dress up.
He's wearing the gangster hat.
That's a gangster hat?
No, this is from Drunk Threepio.
What's that?
Like
you
the most far from a gangster as possible.
The Rebellion?
Yeah, yeah. This is Gina Carano got fired, and Drunk Threepio started the Welcome to the Rebellion. What's up, Jay? I don't know if you watch it, but.
No, but that's
really that is, great
that's
guy.
It's a good segue, though, in the terms of the Rebellion being like, it's so funny that it's perceived that like these kids throwing away the books, like Eminem kneeling.
They this think is, they're in the Rebellion.
Yeah, like, dude,
like,
you're not.
No, you're in the Empire.
Yeah, you're literally. It's like, it's like, dude.
Based.
Yeah, it's like, I know, but it's like, look what I'm doing. Like, I destroyed a planet because it's like Rebellion. It's like, no, that's literally what destroying the planet is what. The Empire once. You're,
right.
you're confused here, buddy. Mm-hmm. You're doing the exact opposite of
you
what
guys,
you think you're
doing. The baddies.
You guys aren't Empire-pilled?
No, Empire's fine. Don't bring me into your lore.
Okay.
I don't want to go there.
Jedi leading
religious
coup against a strong and stable
authority. But they were virgins. So I thought they were the ones that were promoting Stoicism, and they were promoting this idea of chastity. So I'm confused because I don't know which side you would be on.
Well,
they were the order of chaste men that wanted to fight for... They wanted to fight. Now, I'm not Empire-pilled. But I would say, is the Empire promoting purity?
The only reason I side with, probably not, but the only reason I side with the Empire is because I look at the left and they've got, you know, these resistance bumper stickers and they're like, a woman's place is in the resistance with like Princess Leia. And I think George Lucas even came out recently and said that he wrote Star Wars to be like an allegory for like liberalism. And you look at all of these stories that we have, whether it's Star Wars or Hunger Games, these things that we watch when we're young. And it's kind of like incepting into your mind this idea of like the state is always the bad guy and you always just have to fight the tyranny. And then it's like now they have free reign to define like what that tyranny is. And they define tyranny and fascism is all the same thing. And it is whatever poses a threat to the actual tyranny, to the actual system, which is why the truckers, working class guys who have probably no conception of modern politics, they just know that like they just don't want to put things into themselves because the state says so. Now they're fascists and the working class has become like the legs for fascism under the I guess, narratives of these people.
No, it is weird. And guys, obviously, you know, things are unstable, and specifically investments. Inflation's at an all-time high. And you got to make sure that you diversify your portfolio, right? You know about crypto, you know about having cash, you know about your investment banking. But what about actually investing in precious metals, like from Birch Gold? Right now, thanks to a little-known section of the IRS tax code, you can legally move your IRA or 401k into precious metals with no tax implications or penalties. If you want to get started and you want to find out how to invest your money in something that actually lasts, gold has been around forever, so has silver and these precious metals, and they will be around for as long as time is allowed. To get started on protecting your savings with gold in a tax-sheltered account, request a free info kit from Birch Gold by texting the word OFFENSIVE, OFFENSIVE, to 989-898. This comprehensive 20-page kit can protect your savings and can show you how you can move your IRA or 401k out of a volatile stock bond and into precious metals IRA. There's zero cost, zero obligation to request this info, so why wait? Seriously, if you find out how to invest and you think things are volatile, make sure you diversify your portfolio, specifically also with precious metals. Text OFFENSIVE, OFFENSIVE, to the number 989-898. Again, request this free info kit on gold now by texting OFFENSIVE to 989-898. Again, that's OFFENSIVE, OFFENSIVE, to 989-898. No, and it is interesting with this diversity and what's going on here is that people have actually been, I'm just looking at the screen of the horrified dad. I just have to go back to that. I can't stop looking at that. He's so sad. A poor guy. So
he probably doesn't know who the person is. He legitimately doesn't know that it's his son. That he was like, who is this person sitting on my lap? I don't know who this person is.
I feel like this person looks like a goldfish with the googly eyes. You know those ones that have the eyes that bulge from their head?
Yeah.
Yeah, I feel like that's who this person is. But I will say, with all this being said and done, is that, oh man, we have some good stuff for this Thursday too. We're going to be going over some sex-abled, sex-positive for disabled account stuff, teaching people who are disabled, who probably aren't interested in sex, how to become degenerates. It's very interesting stuff we're going to be discussing. But in all this being said and done, with the erasure of what is systemically stable, like you said, I guess you call it being empire-pilled, but this revolt against everything and anything, I believe that we live in a culture, we live in this society, this world right now, where people need to realize that basically everything that is on the screen that is being given to you is probably wrong. And ask yourself the question, what are you not seeing on your screen? What has been told to you is evil? What has been told to you is wrong? What has been told to you is destructive? It's probably closer to what's right. And becoming what the world thinks is evil is probably coming a lot closer to what actually might make you good. And of course, no man is good, no, not one. Not only do you need God to change you and to transform you, but of course, in this world, there is a way that we should live and a way we ought not to be. And the way that's been prescribed to us, like the medications that are numbing our minds and our hearts, are actually deadening our souls and our spirits. And maybe, just maybe, the people that you've been told are the bad guys are a lot closer to the truth than we are today. My guest today, Adam Krigler. Where can people find you? Where can they follow you on your amazing show, which is live every day, correct? Almost every day.
Well, when YouTube isn't giving me strikes, okay. Yes.
Where can they follow you?
You can follow me at The Krigler Show on YouTube. I am branching out onto Rumble. I'm also on Odyssey. And you can find me on Locals, Twitter, Instagram, all of the places. Adam Krigler, very easy, just my full name. And or The Krigler Show, which is my show. And then you can also get Krigler Coffee, which is the freshest coffee that you can buy.
Heck yes.
You've tried it.
I love it. It's the best coffee. Make sure you support Adam. Support his show. It's so good. It's so fresh, just like the coffee, fresh in the morning. Mm-hmm. The good beans. And they're not the ones that make you toot. They're the ones that wake you the up.
But, I want to add something before we move on. You said the empire is like, it's kind of like the patriarchy. Right. If you like how we've been talking throughout the whole episode, how do we find a balance? Right. Because isn't that really what we should have, a balance between the matriarchy and the patriarchy?
I'd prefer the patriarchy.
I know you prefer it, but we have to think all humans are different. Right. And we have to understand humans are going to just be different. There's always going to be racists. There's always going to be people that are prejudiced against others because they're different and they won't accept being integrated. Right, that's just going to be a reality. So can we figure out a balance between the two, between being smothered by mothers, for lack of a better way of phrasing it, or being, you know, controlled by fathers? You know what I mean? Can we have a balance that will lead us into, you know, a future that we're not always killing each other? or trying to control each other. Is it possible?
I don't think God designed the world that way.
As a conservative, I want to go back to even how this country was 100 years ago. And, you know, Edmund Burke wrote about this in Revolutions or Reflection on the Revolution in France, which, of course, is where we get right and left from. And it was the revolution that unseated the monarchy. And that's what a lot of leftists call back to with their whole, like, guillotine fetishizing and things like that. And I think that we've been sold a very false dichotomy of how political power works. You know, we either have individualism or we have collectivism. We either have, like, freedom or we either have tyranny. And I think that liberalism, as it exists and how it's devolved into leftism in this country, or even how a lot of conservatives are really liberals and they just don't know it. And it's like liberalism has ignored one of the basic truths, which is that man is a political animal. I mean, Aristotle said this. And as a result, all of the governments that have arisen from, you know, countries that were rooted in this liberal philosophy have created some of the greatest tyrannies that the world has ever seen. Like, look at the West right now. We are living under tyranny. It's objective, and it's greater than any tyranny that we've ever seen in the history of the planet, except for a few examples in the 20th century. So I think that if we return to a state where we had organic unity, not collectivism, but unity, that is the only method by which we can actually resist a collectivist state. Because when you have individualism, which is what we've been preaching in this country for the last 100 years, you can actually isolate people to where they're autonomous. We've got the melting pot. There is no language, no religion, no culture, anything. Everyone's just an individual, and we're all consumers. The only thing we have in common is that we have nothing in common. And then society starts to destabilize, and then the state has to come in to usher in that stability, or else the country's just going to collapse. But if they tried to usher in anything approximating the current level of tyranny now, or even half that, in the 1940s, it would never have worked, because you had organic unity through the communities and through the churches and things like that. And we just don't have this in the country anymore, which is why we're so susceptible to that tyranny.
It's been replaced by the internet.
Yeah.
Right? The internet is disastrous for humanity.
It's true. He's Ted-pilled.
What?
Ted-pilled? Yeah.
Ted-pilled?
Yeah, Kaczynski.
There's so many. There's a...
See, I'm too online. That's the problem.
Yeah, I was going to say, and this guy... is not online.
I am too, though.
This guy's not online enough. He on my screen here, Savannah.
Oh goodness.
he apparently realizes. I was just gonna say, I think that the matriarch and patriarch balance to me is purely not even just intellectual, it's spiritual. That I believe that women living outside their roles is part of the same problem of men not living within their roles as well. Men trying to accommodate and create a dualistic leadership with men and women is antithetical to both the male prospect and also the female design. So it's you can't really blame women for this, because really it was men who technically voted on some of these things per se, and also a small group of elites who have been behind a lot of this stuff. Very interesting group of people out there. But I think fundamentally women in leadership is a sign of judgment and of a failing country, because I genuinely believe that. I genuinely believe that. The Bible talks about that too, that the sign of like a judgment on a nation or on an empire is a strong female leadership. Like there's literally an allusion to that. And the times when there was judgment on the Israelites and they were weak was when they needed women leaders to lead them, because that's, again, that's not a slant on women. That's also a jive on men too, for saying that why women think that their roles are to be leaders is one thing that is confusing, and why men don't believe that they are supposed to be the leaders and supposed to be leading women is another. And those are rudimentary, both philosophical and I would say moral arguments that people have largely abandoned, which is the argument for a Christian country or for a universalized religious movement, is because in order to run a country this way, you have to believe that is true to some extent, and be besides a moral authority, what would keep us to that? But, you know, why would we not progress away from that? Because if there's no authority telling you that that's true, it's in the heart of humans to be independent and to go against their design.
And you wonder why the most depressed demographic in the country are like middle-aged women. And it's because what they're doing is satanic. I mean, God said that man is to toil in the fields, women is to bear the children. Like that was our respective punishment or debt, so to speak. And now women are trying to do both. I mean, they're trying to, you know, work and they're trying to have kids. And
men too. They're trying to like be the mom and the dad.
Yeah, and dads are like totally domesticated, totally effeminate, which makes the wives resent them even more. And there's a lot of divorce statistics on this. And so,
yeah, actually, I was going to say this randomly. The best advice I got from someone much older than me who was a guest here, he was like, I was like, hey, any like long-term marriage advice? And he was like, the more that you act like a man and let the woman be the woman, the more stable your family will be when you don't try to capitulate to one another and realize there will always just be innate differences and disagreements and problems on the basis of sex alone, let alone on the expression of it. But understanding the fact that that like sometimes a woman will forgive you for acting like a man if you give her the opportunity to live like a woman. And when you live in those defined roles and that understanding, there's a lot of patience with one another, because you're like, well, I don't understand that aspect, but you're doing your duties as a woman and you don't understand aspects of me, but I'm doing my duties as a man, and we complement each other and we're not trying to be egalitarian. And I don't believe that a society can sustain this worldview in the modern era without
by a clown pill.
Okay. All right, I'm back on board.
Okay, so the black pill is
beheading, because I don't want to get on board. No.
That's a white pill. The black pill is that historically speaking, this is literally a fact. No great society has ever survived the sexual liberation of women.
Correct.
Feminism, broadly
speaking.
I
do know that.
You can see this in Europe in the 1500s, throughout the Arab world. This is like just a fact. And we had ours in the 1950s and 60s. So, you know, maybe we can reverse the decline. Either way, we're going to make history. I guess this is the white pill, before the clown pill. The white pill would be either we're going to be the first great society in the history of the world to reverse our decline, or we will ascend from the ashes like the phoenix and we will build something greater in its place. And then the clown pill would be, that just means that we're right about women. So that's funny.
So are we in the weak men?
Oh, absolutely.
Right now?
Absolutely, yeah.
I think we're in hard times.
Well, I think we're going from the weak men into the hard times.
Yeah, this is still not hard times.
We're not in the hard times.
I can still buy coffee. This is not hard times.
Exactly. We're still spoiled in society.
To end the show.
Sorry.
Thanks to Fook Me.
Nice teamwork.
And Fook You. A huge shout out to our newest member,
Fook Me. Is she disabled?
No,
hasn't
been assaulted.
He's got a hatchet.
Give me her. Give me the Asian.
I mean,
are you cutting off her foot or something?
Limb?
Don't go too hard. Like, it's got to be.
Hey! Stop Asian hate. What is going on
if
here?
She's got a victim of Asian hate. I don't mind you doing
What's
that.
What's the thing that they do?
It is a black hatchet.
What do they do in those countries? Don't they like carve their stomachs open or something?
No, but she needs to live.
Sepulchre.
She needs to live.
Maybe like just a hand.
A hand? Yeah,
she tried to steal.
That should be a metal. That should work. No, on the cloth. That's a metal table.
You're right. See, we compliment
each
other.
What is happening right now?
I was like, that's a metal table. Can we?
Okay. What did she steal?
Can we get that?
Hold on.
No, she looked at
your heart, John.
She looked at someone the wrong way in the subway.
Yeah.
She looked at someone the wrong way.
No, she didn't even look at him on the subway. She just happened to be on the subway.
You're a disrespect me.
I lived in New York for 12 years, and I gotta say, there is some crazy people.
I'm gonna take off the whole lower arm because I don't want her to wear like a hook and be a pirate, because that's cool and she doesn't deserve that.
All right, come on, here we go. Oh,
we should have anticipated that. Huh?
Yeah, give me the copy.
That's just get to your
Oh my God.
Do the arm.
Okay.
Here we go.
You are a mess.
Well,
man.
Now it looks like blood. This is what Asian people's blood looks like.
Brown soot?
Yeah. Okay.
Oh! Me don't have no arm now.
I had no arm now. I've been great sharing my family. I now have no arm.
Putting chopstick in one hand. Okay. So
Savannah,
how
are you feeling over there?
No comment on any of this.
All right, that's a victim of Asian hate.
What is happening right now?
That's a victim of Asian hate.
Here, take your cup.
The handsome white man, Brack Person Expo, he take my arm.
All right, you said take my hand in marriage. You took it to a new level. You took the whole arm. All right, anyway, you can find John Doyle on Instagram and on Heck Off Commie on YouTube. And also, is it johndoyle.com?
We're like Hack Off Commie, yeah, am I right? I don't do humor.
Real.
Yeah, it's youtube.com/John Doyle.
I know. I'll sit here and be like, I'm like trying to make a joke. And John's like, you know, in the end, we're all going to get shot by Antifa.
That's epic. Do you not have like a desire to like die?
I've been in front of Antifa many times and I've been injured by them. And I've never once thought the way I want to die is by a fat transgender with a Molotov cocktail. I've never thought that.
Not like in a degree. I just.
Yeah. I'm not afraid to die. I know that death is eventually coming, and which makes me want to live my life as best as I can.
Yeah.
But I'm not looking forward to it.
I want to live, but I can't help but be sort of like excited about a scenario where like
you could die with honor.
You're asked. Exactly.
But is it dying by a fat Antifa honor?
Only,
or is that just sad?
It's a good question.
It depends. If they catch you lacking it like in traffic or something, or like at a riot, then that's not honorable. But if you're
Antifa's
like
Antifa's not black, my friend.
If you're like wound.
Give us your perfect ending. Let's hear it.
I told you it would be a scenario where I'm arrested. You know, I'm taken, and I don't even know who would be in power. Like, who'd like probably that person we saw earlier.
Fill in the blanks.
They're like the American dictator, and then they're like, you must endorse your support for the global libtard agenda, and you have to do your show on state TV. And I'd be like, no, and then they'd kill me.
like.
Execute you on live TV would be even more epic, so that the front brain splatter into the camera lens, and it's like, and
you like, know you who it would it be that would be in power is Joe Biden's new nuclear hire.
Yes. Oh, God. Yeah, the nuclear waste hire. Yeah. In a dog outfit, that's like with true. A gag on it, like, speaking to you, and then like, oh, blow God. Your brain
like,
down
you have
in a
to speak
outfit.
To me in dog, or you're getting executed.
My last word would be an epithet, and it would be epic. And that'd be like the shot heard around the world, and all of a sudden everyone would just start saying that word, and then we rise up, and then they're gonna put statues of me in San Francisco, all the like gay cities as a humiliation ritual as we start hunting. Okay, never mind.
Okay, we're gonna stop there anyway. Just end the show. John you Doyle and Adam Krieger, thank you so much. If you make it as far in the podcast, I hope you like the podcast. If you make it as far in the show and you don't like it, you're retarded because you need to figure something else to do with your time. But if you're not mentally handicapped, you might leave a review. And of course, I've always told Sav to not bring the pro John Doyle ones when John Doyle's on. Does she listen? No.
That's all there is. It's not my fault.
And it's so true.
Yeah. I've told her not to. We can't stoke his ego. It's already too big. It barely fits in his head. All right.
A big head, though.
So Sank. We have no, we do. But on the kidding note, we love to bring positive John Doyle reviews when John Doyle's on.
Sure.
And we like to bring him on at least every other week.
Yeah.
We do. We like to hear from the big brain boy. Soph Sank says, greatest show. I have been watching this show for years. It's literally my lifeblood. I didn't say that, but I'm insinuating. My sister showed me it when y'all were still talking to people on the streets. Well, that was like in 2018. Thank you for being so based. Love y'all. P.S. Tell John that I have a hot Catholic girl for him that just wants to homeschool her future sons and obviously work in the kitchen.
Sounds like a federal agent to me. I don't
send
know about
picks.
That.
Always being said, send pics.
I've said this for years. All I need to know to evaluate a prospective wife would be her.
Does she glow in the dark?
A photograph, her SAT score.
John looks like a midget. He looks like the.
He does.
I'm not even going to bother to fix it.
He looks like a kid.
Yeah.
Her SAT like score and then a 5-minute conversation with
her
dad.
Pick up your Barbie and hatchet so someone can screenshot this and put it in the Telegram. You got to.
This
hatchet.
Is the last thing you see before you die.
Is like, there you go, guys. John Doyle, heck off commie. We have one more from Alexander Blank. Says, came from YouTube to give 5 stars. Thank you. I was led to this podcast trying to rummage. Oh, I love these ones. These are my favorite ones. Trying to rummage through the internet, searching like a methed up prospector for more content from the leader of the one and true conservative party, John Doyle. Still yet to have seen him be bested in a debate properly because the minds of the Coomers have been clouded by fluoride. Proud Doyle cultist. Side note, Elijah is pretty cool too.
Literally everything you just said was correct. You clearly have a good read on things. You're an intelligent guy, which is why you watch Elijah. It's why you watch me.
It's why you watch Adam Krigler live at night.
Sure.
Big supporter. Anyway, make sure you can follow Savannah Hernandez as well at the Rapid Fire Podcast, or Sav Says on YouTube before it gets taken down. Show some support to the SOB families. Also, remember that there's a shop called ShopSlightlyOffensive.com that's fake, and they use offer code SOB for discounts. It's freaking fake. It's not mine. It says the official store of Slightly Offensive. It's illegal, and we're working on it. That's not my store. It is not the official store. You can go to,
oh, you're serious?
Shop.blazemedia.com.
I thought this was like a way to try to get people to go check
no,
it
it's
out.
Genuinely.
No, it's actually
Shop.blazemedia. My clothing sold on blazemedia.com, not on that. They literally just ripped all the logos and stuff and made a fake Slightly Offensive clothing store. Wow. That's a real thing.
Is it good merch though? I mean,
yeah. No. I'm not happy about it.
Okay.
I'm not happy about it. Don't do that. Don't be a loser like that. Don't do that shit. Be original.
Make your own shit.
Yeah, seriously. Fuck you. Anyway, I don't know what. How do we end this? Thanks so much to my guests for coming on. You guys were incredible. We amputated something. We talked about weird things. And did you have fun?
I had a great time.
And you had a good time?
I had a great time, yeah.
All right. My name is Elijah Schaefer, your top 17 host here at Slightly Offensive, the best worst show on Blaze TV, where we always have confetti of color. Have a great rest of the week. Thanks to the Diversity Coalition. And as we would leave, we give you one drag queen word of the day, which is not a word because leftists can't understand what a dictionary is, and we have the phrase drag family, which says drag families, also known as houses, have an essential role in the ballroom scene. As queer people, most drag performers get to choose their family or create their own house, because God knows that God's not in charge of choosing your family. You get to choose it. A house is a safe place and usually a replacement for a real family and a community in which queer people can live, aka they're not real. They don't even have real relationships. It's all fake, and that's your word of the day from the drag dictionary. Anyway, have a great rest of the week, and may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.